Turn with your Bibles to Mark, the 5th chapter. Reading from the New American Standard Version. I hope that's not confusing for you. I want to begin our reading with verse 21. It's going to be lengthy, but if you follow along, it would be helpful. Jesus had just come across the Sea of Galilee. He'd been over on the other side, and he had cast out the demons. And he had come back, and he got to the seashore, and it was about as far as he got because the crowds were there. People had heard, and they gathered around him at the seashore. This morning, I want to talk about two particular people that are found in this passage. One very needy, one very wealthy. One very sick, one whose daughter was dying. Two people, unashamedly, coming to Jesus. So let's begin our reading now with verse 21. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and, on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and the large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all of that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, "If I just touch his garments, I'll get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, he turned around to the crowd and he said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what had been spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion, the people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions, and he entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded, and he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given to her to eat. May God bless our hearts now, the reading and hearing of this portion of his holy word. Life can sometimes be very difficult. Mothers, you understand when you have a child that wants something to drink or eat or diaper to change, or carpool to run, or clothes to wash, a meal to prepare. a knot on somebody's head, a skinned knee, and it's all going on at the same time. Everybody pulling at you in a different direction. You do that, men, ladies, you do that in your jobs, in your homes, in your neighborhoods. Wherever you might be, there are always those situations that seem to pull and pull and pull and pull. Well, Jesus was experiencing such a situation right here. The master healer. But I want us to see today that he did much more than heal. He's showing some other things that he wanted to get across. One thing was patience. If he lacks patience, let him ask. But patience is worked through tribulation. You don't get patience lying under a fig tree or a palm tree or by the beach. You get patience worked in you in tribulation, in your trials. You learn to trust. I think of Jesus with his disciples, the patience he had with them. They meant well. They always tried to protect him. They're always saying, "Don't do that. It's too. You don't need it. They don't need to be here. Quit bothering him." And he always came back and says, "Let it be. Let it be. Let it be." So here we have this situation where this authority in the synagogue, a man of reputation. I probably don't need that, do I? I'm so loud. Anyway, my grandmother once said, "Gerald, don't be so loud. It's so common." And but I was always loud. Sorry about that. So if this bothers you and you need it back, I'll bring it back. But he was a leader. He was respected. He was one of the church leaders. And here he came and fell down in front of Jesus. Humbled himself. He humbled himself in front of the whole crowd. He wasn't concerned about what the crowd thought of his position in the church. That wasn't an issue for him. His issue was, "My daughter is dying. And Jesus is the answer." He'd probably seen Jesus perform miracles before. He had seen Jesus do things in the synagogue. He had heard things that Jesus had accomplished. And he came as a man believing that Jesus was able. And so Jesus says, "Okay." And so he begins to go by the crowd. You know, and when we talk in crowd, we're talking football game Saturday crowd. We're talking thousands of people gathered around in that part of the world and pushing. So you don't move quickly. You don't move rapidly, but you're making progress. And then in the midst of that, this lady comes up and draws from him. And they're thinking, "Well, why did he stop? If he had just come on, if he had just kept coming, if he had just gone, she wouldn't have died." Jesus was in no hurry. He was in no hurry. He had something to do to teach not only the lady, but other things. You do know that this lady has issues for 12 years and she has spent all of her money. But you also know from Leviticus that she was not able to do things socially until an equal amount of time when she was clean had passed. And she couldn't do things spiritually. She was ostracized from the crowd. And here she is banging right in. If she touched someone, they were unclean spiritually, ceremonially. That wasn't her concern. Her concern was to touch the hem and to receive healing. And she slipped away. And as she slipped away, Jesus turned and says, "Who touched me?" What's what are his disciples' response? "What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody in here has touched you. This crowd? Why ask a question like that?" Jesus did not perform anything. The Father had given power, and that power was released to this woman. But he wanted the woman to learn something. more than that she had some physical healing. He didn't want her to slip away. He wanted her to know that it was her faith that had made her whole. Not just a miracle. That it was her faith that God had used to change her, to reconcile her, to bless her. And Jesus took the time to make that happen, to make that communication work. You and I have a time frame. We have a time frame that we work on. But God doesn't work on our time frame. He has His own plans and He has His own way of doing things. So this woman who was not important came in and was touched. She identified herself. Her faith had made her whole. Jairus was a wealthy man, a man in need, a man frustrated, a man broken. His daughter was dying. And here Jesus was taking his time and stopping to deal with a nobody, stopping to deal with a woman that had some needs. And not just to heal her, but began to talk to her, to communicate with her, to teach her. Well, Jesus is like He was looking over her shoulder, looking over her head to all of us, reminding us that we have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. We all need Christ's healing power, and Jesus alone can restore our lives. Jairus was a wealthy man, a respected man, but he humbled himself. So while he was dealing with the woman, bad news arrived. No need to come now. No need to bother the teacher now. She's dead. But Jesus said, "Believe, Jairus. Believe. Believe. Not just what you see. Believe what you don't see. Believe who I am. Believe what I've already done. Believe what I've already accomplished." Yes, the lady slowed me down. Time was lost. Today he would have been accused of malpractice for his medical practice because he chose to stop along the way for someone who'd been sick for years and this girl was dying. He didn't understand the importance. He didn't understand the emergency. He didn't understand the need. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, Jesus understood. He understands my need. But He's not on our timetable. He's not on our time frame. You realize that everybody's not on the same time. We got married. I grew up at Mendenhall at Revolving Tables, and whenever I got home, supper was ready. Betty grew up where if she was 5 minutes late, she was grounded for a week. Things weren't going well in the early days of marriage as I let it in late when the supper was cold. Time. Our son married a girl that was Catholic. He did sledgehammer evangelism. He said, "I really like you, but I could never marry you because you're not a Christian." Anyway, he did lead her to the Lord and they got counseling, and so we did marriage in an Italian area of Cleveland. Family had come over and learned to speak English in the steel mills. Very salty. And we had a Christian wedding, a Presbyterian wedding, in a Christian church. And the Catholics were about 25 minutes late getting to the church. Well, the Presbyterians were uptight. Very uptight. And I was the main uptighter. I was the main guilty party. Well, their life was just so different than ours. The organist the soloist, they had timed it out so that it would be, that all of their preliminaries would be over just as Here Comes the Bride is played. They had played everything they knew, just kept playing, and finally they got up and took a break. Awful. But you know, it went well. Nobody left. That was what they knew. That was what they knew, their time frame. God's not on our time frame. One of the reasons we get so frustrated is because we want God on our time frame. But He says, no, I hear you. And because I do love you, I'm not going to do that right now. I'll do it in my time when it's best, for you. And so he heard the message, no longer needed. Just believe. Have faith. We see tombstone sometimes says, asleep in Jesus. And he wanted to let them know that this asleep was not the end. Now Matthew makes it very clear that he knew the girl was dead. That's not the issue. But when he takes her hand, it's just like a mother in the morning saying, honey, it's time to get up. He takes her hand and the security of that and raises her and says, feed her. Feed her. Give her something to eat. Life as usual. Well, Jesus, when He has our hand, is able to do more exceedingly abundant than we could ever be allowed to think. He says, be patient. Be patient. No need to hurry. No need to hurry. Patience is love for the long haul. Patience. Bearing up in difficult times. Patience. Not giving in or giving up to bitterness. Patience means working when gratification or satisfaction is delayed. Patience means taking what life offers. Patience means suffering without lashing out. Thomas Cranmer had a prayer in the midst of his book, The Prayer of Common Worship, that he wrote. And he had a prayer for Palm Sunday. And he says, we need to concentrate on being patient with, like Jesus, so that we might receive the resurrection. Jesus was going to be facing that Palm Sunday to the Easter Sunday. He was going to be facing pain. He was going to be facing much emotional, physical, more than we could ever think, because He was taking the sins of the world. But He was patient that whole week. He was patient with His disciples. He was patient with His enemies. He was patient with the authorities. He was a patient even as He was crucified. So patience is something that we need to seek after. And Thomas Cranmer, in his Book of Common Prayer on that Palm Sunday, says we need to seek patience of Christ this week. We need to seek the patience of Christ. And so Christ is saying, I love you. I will not hurry. I will not hurry because I do love you. I know what I'm doing. You know what you are doing, but I am the creator of the world and I understand much more. And so He says, trust me. And so we need to be conformed to His patience so that we might be partakers of His resurrection. And so we have here today two people. One, a hurting, spiritual, respected, wealthy man. A nobody, suffering, had given up all that she had. She had tried. She spent all of her money. She'd been to all the doctors. She'd been trying to get all the help she could. And she says, He can do that. And if I can just get to Him and touch Him, He can heal me. The man unashamedly falling down before Christ and saying, Master, come, my daughter is dying. Come and heal her. Two people, one of great esteem, one of nothing. But the same Lord, the same Savior, the same Redeemer, the same Healer works in His time, in His way, to do when He wants to do. And so, dear ones, in our lives, as we get impatient with God, where are you, God? Why aren't you hearing me? We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and you haven't responded. Where are you, God? He's where He always is. He loves you. He loves you. And He will answer in His way, in His time. Father, thank You this morning for the gospel. You heard those cries. You knew what the need was. But You knew it was more than physical. You wanted to teach about eternal life. You wanted to get the message across about resurrection. Not just reconciling, as You did the lady, but the resurrection as You did the daughter. You taught Your power and You taught Your faithfulness and You taught Your love in the ship as the storms hit the sea and You calmed the seas. As You performed the miracles, as You fed the thousands, You proved Your power over and over again. You didn't do it in a closet. You did it out in the open. You did it where people could see. And yet, when we don't get a ready answer, we say, Lord, where are You? Don't You care? Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You do care. Thank You that You're patient with us as You were patient with Your disciples. Lord, may we learn patience, love for the long haul, loving You for the long haul, loving one another for the long haul. Thank You today for this congregation again. And we ask that You would bless them and bless us as we go forth from this place, another week of service for Christ's sake. Amen.